Well, good morning. Welcome to the San Diego Housing Commission Board of Commissioners meeting of October 6, 2017. I'd like to call the meeting to order. It looks like we have a quorum here with two commissioners excused. We've reviewed the agendas, we will be dealing with the items, some of them on consent, some of them will be heard in open session. Any commissioner comments prior to starting the meeting? Hearing none? Okay. We will go to the report from the President and CEO, Mr. Gentry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. And with the board's indulgence, I have about seven or eight different items this morning I'd like to provide a brief report on, items that have happened since the last board meeting that I think are worthy of note. The first is on September 28th, last week, we hit our goal of housing 1,000 veterans in our Housing Our Heroes initiative under the homelessness programs here. I am quite pleased with that. And not only has it been a success, yes, thank you, Gary. But it reflects. Thank you anyhow. It reflects some excellent work by our homelessness team, by our voucher team off the third floor, and by all the support people that made it work. And despite all the bad news in the press about homelessness right now, that's an extra 1,000 folks, vets who are off the streets now who were there a year and a half ago. And I'll point out that of those 1,000 that we put in place to date, there have been four that have washed out and failed. That's not a bad success rate. So my compliments to staff. I wanted to make sure that the board knew about that. And hopefully that good news will eventually get the kind of recognition by the press that bad news gets. I know, faint chance, Chuck. Also, last week, on September the 21st, the Housing Commission issued a recently completed report about the City of San Diego's housing production needs and objectives. That was a report commissioned by Scott Sherman, who is chair of the Smart Growth Committee at the City, a combination of Mr. Sherman and Council Member David Alvarez. That was a report that was a result of a report that we produced about 2 years ago that came up with 11 priority items that the city should address to begin solving a housing production shortage. And this report I would commend to you. If you don't have it, we'll get your hard copies of it. It's on our website. But this is a report that was completed by the McKinsey Group, which is a world-class group of folks that not only gives general recommendations, but also, where a new word I've learned, it geocodes the entire county. Yeah. It shows existing land use approvals, or rather land use authorizations that don't require changes to what the property can be used for. So this would be a great aid to developers and to the city, and it also set out goals that the city needs to accomplish going forward. I'll point out that the report shows that in order to meet the goals that the city needs by 2030, the city will need to produce between 17,000 and 24,000 units per year. The most we've produced in any 1 year over the last 10 years was 6,400 units. So this is a roadmap and a guide, but there's still going to need to be a lot done for the city to catch up on the backlog of needed housing for the city. And this is housing at all income levels, not just affordable, but market as well. Back to the issue of homelessness. The city, as you've seen in the press, is taking additional steps to address the homelessness issue amid the current hepatitis A outbreak. I joined Mayor Faulkner this past Wednesday morning at a news conference to announce the creation of a safe zone at 20th and B Street. This will provide homeless San Diegans a place to camp with their belongings, will include hand washing stations and showers. I don't know quite yet exactly what the Housing Commission's role in administering or overseeing that is going to be, but I suspect it'll be something. Also, earlier in September, on September the 13th, I participated in a news conference with Mayor Faulkner and City Council members Chris Ward and Lori Zapp to announce three new Bridge to Housing shelter tents for homeless San Diegans. These tents will go two on where the Sprung shelters used to be before we discontinued those 3 years ago. One is at the 2700 block of Sports Arena Boulevard, operated by Veterans Villages. The other is a vacated street at 16th and Newton Avenue to be operated by Alpha as it was. And then also there will be a third in the parking lot at Father Joe's Villages campus at 14th and Commercial. And the Housing Commission has been asked by the city to administer and oversee those programs as part of our ordinary oversight of the city's ongoing homelessness efforts. And we'll have more to say about those as they come closer to fruition. My understanding is that those Sprung shelters have been ordered. They're in transit, and the goal is to try to get those erected by about December the 1st. Some good news. Let me point out a publication in front of you that we put out this summer. The Housing Commission strongly advocated for four bills in the General Assembly this year. Two have been passed and signed by the governor into law. And those are SB2, the Building Homes and Jobs Act, and SB3, the Affordable Housing Bond Act of 2018. I won't try to describe those to you now. They're described in the booklet, but those are law now. Also, SB35 also passed and has been signed into law by the governor. The one that has not yet been signed is AB 1637, which we expect will be effective. And that was the missing metal bill to allow the Housing Commission in San Diego, joined by the housing agency in Santa Clara County, to expand their footprint to serve customers up to 150% of median income rather than our current ceiling at 80%. This allows us an experiment within the state that's drawn a lot of attention from other cities. We initiated this. It was sponsored by Todd Gloria, and I'll be surprised if this not passed into law as well. On September the 19th, we dedicated another new, we did a groundbreaking at a new project here that was represented by Housing Commission employees, and that is the Luna at Pacific Highlands Ranch groundbreaking in the north part of the city. This will be, when it's finished, 77 rental units that are affordable to families up to 60% of area median income. I'll point out one other caveat before I get to what I'm really pleased to announce to you. The caveat is the impact of the hurricanes that have hit Texas and Florida over the past month. And I think our hearts go out to all the folks who have been directly affected by that. But I'll also point out there will be a splatter effect throughout the country, including us. The cost of materials for rebuilding, scarcity of labor, all those are going to add to what is going to be an ever-increasing cost issue, I think, for developing any new housing in San Diego. And in closing for the board, I'd like to take 2 minutes just to do a little bragging. There's a letter in front of you from NARO, which is the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials. And at the annual conference in Pittsburgh later this month, I'm going to be awarded something called the Justin Herman Memorial Award. And that's kind of the award for old people who are all either over the hill or about to be. It's a lifetime achievement award. I think it's the best in the industry, and I'm proud of it. So thank you all very much.
Have you, is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that is, that's a big time award, folks. And we're very proud of Rick for being nominated to receive that award.
So congratulations to you. I'm sorry I won't be there with you. Let me go back, if I could, for a second. I'd overlooked the non-agenda public comment section of the agenda. This is the time when individuals may address the Housing Commission on any subject that's maybe not on the agenda. We're limited to 3 minutes or less. I want to apologize to Ms. Martha Wersch for not having called you up for that. Please, you have the podium.
Martha Welch, I'm here to talk about that video last month. It was a veteran also. You put a family of four in one bedroom and a twin bed. I think that's so mean, because how could they live there with one, there's the baby, a child, and a mother, and a father? And also, if that's you give them veterans, I don't think that's right, because I saw that video, and I think it's so mean. Why? Because you're Republicans, and you have big salaries or something like that? Because I noticed everything you build is one bedroom, like Cypress, Gateway, Townsend. That's bedrooms and studios, all you build, you know? Now, last month also we had about the hotels. I went online to the hotels, and all they have is a microwave and a small refrigerator in the bathroom. There's no bedrooms at all in those hotels. There's going to be studios only. So you don't see with families, where are they going to live? Because all you do is build these things only. So how can a family live in one bedroom? I don't know. I don't think that's right. I think it's mean. And also, these rules you have here with AMI as a gate, you can't get in. Like, I can afford the rent someplace, but I can't go in because AMI is too high. That's what you do here. It's wrong. Everything I see in this thing is wrong. And if you think you need all these hotels as a solution, you're wrong, because most of these hotels are small. They have a bed, maybe a nightstand, maybe not even a dresser, and a bathroom, and maybe a microwave and stuff like that. If you think people want to live like that off the street, maybe they would temporarily, but the rents are so high. Why? Because the development fees you have are so high. They're so high here, it makes it hard to build affordable other things, because the development fees are so high. I've never seen this stuff that you do here. I've never seen this stuff anywhere else. I'm from some San Francisco, you understand this, and if you call up there, they'll answer the phone. You call here, they won't answer the phone here. That's why the problem here, if you go to the clerk, they can't help you. And I know about what you do with veterans also. I have a friend who lives in a new palace, and he was already living there. You give to him also. So these things look good. Of course, you can say you're housing people. I can't, you know, you're going to say you do it, but I see the reality of what's going on, because I'm a renter, and I know what goes on here with the rents and everything, what goes on in San Diego. And it's just a mean thing, and everything I see in San Diego is very mean.
I also have a request to speak from Vianney Prado, please.
Report that was issued to the Housing Commission. It's the fiscal year 2017 annual report on Housing Trust Fund. In that report, it did indicate that revenues actually increased 425%. They were higher than expected, totaling about $6,030. And in the report, it says that when funds are collected and they're higher than budgeted, they're put into a fund reserve for future investment. And I want to point out that we are in a state of emergency where people are dying. You know, homeless people are not housed, and we have this outbreak that's affecting all of us now, you know, the general public. And I would like to point out that the $20 million that is collected from the Inclusionary Housing Fund should be used now, immediately, against homelessness, and should be used for that and not kept in a future fund when they need it today. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay. Let's see. Let's go to the approval of the minutes of the meeting of September 8th, 2017. Any corrections or deletions to those minutes? Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion to approve. Commissioner Cerdy, second. Commissioner Davis, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The meeting of the minutes of the meeting of September 8th are approved as presented. Let's
Let me propose a consent agenda items. I'm proposing, I had a modification from previously. I'm proposing that we handle items 101 and 102 on consent. We do have a request to speak on item 100, and so we will hear that item. Any corrections, any comments on that? I'll entertain a motion to approve items 101 and 102. I have a motion by Commissioner Walsh, second by Commissioner Surdy. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Items 101 and 102 are approved. Let's go to item 100. Mr. Christensen, did you want to address the commission before we dealt with this item?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. With respect to item 100, Commissioner Walsh does not have an official legal conflict, although Council Policy 00-4 says if there is an appearance of a conflict that a commissioner may recuse him or herself at their election and in their discretion. Commissioner Walsh has chosen to recuse himself with respect to item 100. That means that there will be only three eligible voters for item 100. So depending upon what happens, in any event, this matter is being heard at the Housing Authority next Tuesday, and it's required to go there anyway, so that the fact that there won't be a quorum on that item does not matter.
Christensen, Mr. Walsh, you're excused. And Mr. Miyahara, you have the floor, sir. Item 100, final bond authorization for Luther Tower.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Ted Miyahara, Vice President of Multifamily Housing Finance. With me is Joe Correa, Project Manager. This is a final bond authorization for a $20 million bond issuance. It's a 200-unit development located downtown on 2nd and Beach. It's currently occupied by seniors. This project is currently unrestricted. This action will create 198 units of affordable housing. The development is a 16-story high-rise, originally built in 1964. The project is composed of studios and one-bedroom units. The developer is repositioning this project with tax credits and bonds. There's no housing commission loan on this project. Improvements include new kitchens, baths, upgrades to major building systems, such as roofs, the electrical, plumbing, and mechanical systems. The project will be developed by Dow and CNC Development Group. These are local developers. They have a combined portfolio of about 3,500 units across 26 developments. Next slide. Total development cost is $29.4 million, which equates to approximately $147,000 per unit. Again, this development will add 198 units to the affordable housing stock. Rents of the project will range from 50 to 60% of the area median income, and the developer expects to close on the transaction later this month and start construction the following month. And that concludes our presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Miyahara. Commissioners, any questions on this before I open it up to public comment? I have a request to speak from Ms. Martha Welsh. Martha?
I'm very familiar with this building. I put an application. It was HUD at that time. Now, right now, it's on the credo. It says it's Section 8. So why are you doing this medium 50 to 60 MI? Why? I've seen the same thing, same thing happen. If you get right now, there's tax rate and then Section 8 only. So that's what you do. It's a gate again. Now, I've seen this all over the city with these old, they're seniors, and you're taking them out of there, or what are you doing? Because it's not right. Because it's for the future. Talk about the future. Not the people who live right now, but for the future. All these other seniors can't get in because you're changing what it is. And that's not right. You didn't build another one for seniors anywhere else for the future. You're not building that stuff. And I've seen, now, I also saw Sandy Square. I've been inside, you understand. I have a friend that lives there, and it's not fixed inside. Now, I know that. Is that what you're going to do the same thing? I've been in that one. I have friends in Westminster. It's not fixed. I know what you do. It looks good, doesn't it, from outside? But inside, it doesn't look that right now. And there's a lawsuit. I know who the person is doing the lawsuit about this also. So this is wrong what you're doing. And also, multi-housing family bonds, if there's no no family in there at all. It's studios and one bedroom. Again, this is wrong. It used to be HUD. I saw the application because I used to be on the list, but they kicked me off because of what I do here, obviously. But it's wrong what you're doing. And the same thing happened to all these buildings for seniors. For the future, they're gone.
All right, commissioners, I have no other request to speak on this item. I'll close the public hearing. Any discussion, any questions from staff? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve. I have a motion by Commissioner Davis, second by Commissioner Surdy. Any further discussion? Final bond authorization, Luther Tower Project. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 3-0. Thank you very much. Let's go on to item 104. Item 104 is a workshop and discussion on affordable housing program. I'm sorry. Thank you. Bring me back. 103, preliminary bond authorization for the Hollywood Palms 2 project. Mr. Mihara, looks like you're in line for this one.
Good morning again. The Housing Commission Board reviewed this project in March of 2017. The developer has since increased its scope of work and is actively pursuing construction bids for the rehab work. The increased scope of work and higher than estimated construction costs have resulted in an increase to the development budget. Staff is requesting an increase to the bond issuance amount by $1.5 million. The original amount was $19.5 million. We're requesting an increase to $21 million. Housing Commission staff has reviewed the request along with the underwriting for the project and determined that the project is still feasible. Nothing about this project has changed. It's a 94-unit family project located in City Heights. It's composed of 2 and 3 and 4-bedroom units. TDC is $31.6 million, which equates to $335,000 per unit, and the rents will be restricted to 50 and 60% of the area median income. And that concludes the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Mihara. What can you just share with the commission what was unforeseen that drove the price up to the developer?
So developers, typically engage construction experts, at some point in the process. A firm has done that. They're actually pursuing subcontractor bids, and they're just experiencing a rise in construction cost. So I don't know that it's one particular thing. It's just the overall budget has increased slightly. So I think a firm is here. I don't know if they can speak to that a little bit more.
Hi, I'm Sydney Connell with Affirmed Housing. So we experienced some ADA requirements that were unforeseen when going through the planning process. So that's one of the reasons costs went up.
Okay. That wasn't something that when you were doing your due diligence that you were able to capture?
No, not some of these requirements that are now being required by the planning department at the city. We're also adding solar and a few other items that are increasing the cost as well.
This was after the fact that you assumed that you were going to put solar in. You didn't count on that initially?
Not putting them on the carport the way we are now. So it just changed slightly.
Okay. Commissioners, questions? Commissioner Surdy?
Yes. Was there an additional requirement from the state to encourage you to do that?
For the ADA, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes,
and
exactly.
And for the solar panels?
So some of the walkways and handrails and things like that we didn't originally consider improving, we are required to improve, and that's quite an additional cost.
Was that just an oversight that, it's
no,
always
it,
been
it
there,
was a
or
new,
is it new?
No, it was a new code that was passed, and I wish we had our architect. He could probably speak to that better, but that's where the requirements are coming
that's
from.
That's fine. Thank
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioners, any further questions? Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank
for
you.
Here. All right. Any other comments? Preliminary bond authorization for the Hollywood Palms 2 apartments. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve. Moved by Commissioner Surdy, second by Commissioner Walsh. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Mihara. Now we'll go on to the workshop and discussion on the affordable housing program updates. Mr. Wayne?
Good morning,
Chair Artasin, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Mr. Christensen. This morning you're going to hear from four of the Housing Commission's best and brightest. What we're going to do is cover three topics in their presentation, the main areas of work performed by their teams, and the teams are policy, loans, and the Affordable Housing Fund. Why don't the first two, Jenny and Carrie, come up? The workshop will be a little unique in that the loans and the Affordable Housing Fund presentations will pull from highlights from the informational reports that you have in your packets. It's a refresher for the board. We want to keep you apprised of the work that's done behind the scenes and which rarely makes its way to you for approval because you approve the expenditures for these programs in the annual budget, so you don't always get to hear the fine work that these groups do. So Jenny Vanderhyde will start off with a continuation of our 2015 report on housing affordability, the status and next steps. Carrie Tapia is going to pull from two of the informational reports talking about the first-time homebuyer program and the fiscal year-end status of our loan portfolio. Then they'll switch seats, and Tina Kessler and Danny Halton will cover the fiscal year-end annual report for the Affordable Housing Fund. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay.
Thanks, Debbie. Good morning, Chair Tassin, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Mr. Christensen. As you know, in November 2015, the Housing Commission released a report that identified 11 action items aimed at reducing housing costs and increasing production of both affordable and market rate housing. Our 2015 report put a spotlight on the need for increased housing production and helped fuel the momentum to take action against rising housing costs and insufficient supply. We're happy to share that to date, progress has occurred on 10 of those 11 action items, including setting citywide housing production goals, which were included in the report that we brought before you last month. Work to expand access to middle-income housing came in the form of AB 1637, a collaboration with Assemblymember Todd Gloria to expand the ability of housing authorities to finance middle-income housing. We're happy to say that that bill is currently on the governor's desk. The city played a large role as well. The city's 10th update to the Land Development Code accomplished 38 code amendments and streamlining measures covering fee deferrals for commercial linkage fees, reduced parking requirements near transit, and an increase to the city's affordable housing density bonus from 35% to 50% to further incentivize affordable housing production. A detailed account of the measures accomplished is soon to be published in our follow-up report, along with a scorecard outlining the status of each of the original 11 action items. The report will include new action items that continue to promote cost reduction, increase production, and the creation of new revenues. The Housing Commission can further support our own previous measures, as well as those taken by the city, by pursuing initiatives that promote production of middle-income housing, encourage smaller, naturally affordable housing development and preservation, coordinate with various local funders, landholders, and project approvers to ensure a continual pipeline of new affordable housing development, and encourage the creation of new revenue sources through creative partnerships with other governmental, private, and nonprofit entities. The most exciting result from pursuing the recommended action items is the increased amount of collaboration between the Housing Commission and city departments, local agencies, and state legislators. We look forward to deepening those relationships. We'd like to provide presentations on the Housing Commission's work that supports these very important goals. And the first of these is a partnership with the county that leverages our expertise and resources to provide San Diegans access to first-time home ownership opportunities. The second is the Housing Commission's loan portfolio, which represents a major investment into the economy, generating a return that gets reinvested back into Housing Commission programs. The fund supports both production and revenue creation priorities.
Good morning. It's my pleasure this morning to present to you two reports that highlight the activities from the Housing Finance and Loan Servicing Departments. About 3 years ago, in August of 2014, the board approved a partnership for the administration of the County of San Diego First-Time Homebuyer Program. Since our inception of the partnership, production in the county area has increased by over 200%. Prior to our partnership, the county was funding about 9 home buyer loans a year, and through our partnership, we have been able to assist an average of 45 families a year with assistance in the county program area. Staff administers all aspects of the County of San Diego program with the exception of the loan funding, which is handled by the county's comptroller. The county also partners with a third party for the servicing activities. So we handle the production and we hand off the file for their long-term servicing. The county program serves families who are earning up to 80% of area median income. They offer a 3% interest deferred loan program that is fully deferred with no payments for 30 years. They offer 17% of the purchase price plus an additional $10,000 for closing cost assistance. In FY17, we were able to assist 44 families with just over $3 million in funding. The county program has served 134 families since inception of our partnership with just over $9.1 million in funding. We do recuperate our administrative costs through the program and have been able to recover just over $265,000 in administrative reimbursements. So it is a great program, and we're very proud of the work that has been done there. The second report that we are presenting this morning is our loan portfolio status report. This is going to identify the activities for the fourth quarter, but also includes a summary of all activities for fiscal year 2017. As of June 30th, 2017, our portfolio was $350 million, $402,901, and we had a loan portfolio of 2,612 active loans. In fiscal year 2017, we funded $23.9 million in funding that provided an additional 374 affordable units in San Diego. 29 of those units were rehab loans. The programs also generated $18.3 million in program income. The largest repayments come from the multifamily side of the portfolio and going down to affordable for sale, which does have repayments, first-time homebuyer program, and rehab. So all four of our categories generate program income, and these $18.3 million are reinvested back into the funding programs that we have at the agency. That concludes my report.
Do you want us to ask questions as we go or at the very end? Sure. Ms. Tapia, the county's first-time buyer, home buyer program, are their requirements the same as ours?
Yes. So their loans are underwritten just as we would if we were underwriting a City of San Diego loan. They must be at or below 80% area median income. They must meet particular debt-to-income ratios. They must live in the property for the entire term of the loan.
It's a 3% loan.
3% deferred loan, yes.
Okay, very good. And then in terms of our administrative cost, would you consider this to be a full cost recovery for the San Diego Housing Commission?
Yes.
Our administration of that program?
Yes, we bill for 100% of the hours incurred.
Okay, very good. Commissioners, any questions? Ms. Tapia on that? Mr. Walsh?
Has there been any analysis done on the economic benefit to the region based on the home buyer program or some of the other programs you mentioned? There's obvious benefit due to putting people in homes. Pretty simple and easy to understand that part, right?
Yeah.
And there's a variety of approaches the commission and the staff takes to do that. But has anybody produced anything like that, or is there any expectation, something you could share with me?
We have not produced a regional.
There we go. We have not produced a specific report on this program. However, we had Lynn Reeser from the Fromanian Institute last year do an economic impact study of the whole agency. It was published along about September, as I recall, and then delivered reports to this board and to the council just before he came on the board. And so we'll get a copy of that to you. We didn't separate it out, but we look pretty good.
You're still going to have to catch up the newbie for a bit.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Commissioners, any other questions? Ms. Vanderheide, a question on the code update, the land code update that the city's taken on. Do we have a projection on how much inventory will will be produced based upon those necessary code updates?
I don't, and I know that the city is currently going through its 11th code update, so I imagine that they would want to roll all of those new amendments into any projections, but I currently don't know of any projections or estimates.
Yeah. Mr. Gentry, it would be helpful to have an idea on what that is, because, I mean, these code updates are needed, right? I'm reducing parking around transit, facilitating granny flats and what have you. Those things are highly needed, but it would be helpful that we would have an expectation on what we expect to achieve from those updates.
Yes, sir, and I think you're entirely correct. I'll point out that the Housing Commission in this area, we're batting a little bit out of our zone. We're providing advice and assistance to what the city should be doing. And so we provide that advice, but the city's not accountable to us. The good thing is that all of our work has been done in concert with the city. It's been cooperative, and they've accepted pretty much everything we've suggested. What I will point out, and this is in one of my goals to you all that I assume we'll talk about in closed session in a little bit, one of my goals to you, for me, for the next year, is formalizing a housing policy institute here at the Housing Commission, which would put us in a position to form policy on housing issues for the city. And I see this as a vacuum area that nobody's really taken control of that I think could be a natural for us, which would include also feedback to you all and a more formal way of looking at what the city should be doing on all of its housing issues.
Thank you. Okay, any further questions from Ms. Vanderheide and Ms. Tapia? All right, then I understand that Ms. Kessler and Ms. Halton are up next.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Tina Kessler, Housing Programs Manager, and with me is Daniel Halton, Senior Program Analyst in the Real Estate Division. This part of the presentation, I will give a brief overview of the Affordable Housing Fund, and Danielle will be going over the fiscal year's 2017 revenue and outcomes. The San Diego Housing Trust Fund ordinance was created and passed by the San Diego City Council in 1990. This was funded originally through impact fees assessed on non-residential developments. The Housing Trust Fund was enacted to finance housing for low-income workers. In 2003, the Housing Trust Fund ordinance was amended to include funds from the Inclusionary Housing Fund collections. The City of San Diego's Affordable Housing Fund is a permanent, annually renewable source of funds to help meet the city's needs of its very low to moderate income households.
Thank you, Dina. Apartment construction remained very strong in fiscal year 17, resulting in increased revenue collections. For the Inclusionary Housing Fund, revenues totaled over $26 million. This is 425% higher than our budgeted revenues. When more funds are collected than budgeted, they are placed into a fund and reserved for future year investments. For fiscal year 2017, Housing Trust Fund revenues totaled over $4 million. Over $600,000 was expended by programs and projects. The funds were allocated among several housing activities: rental housing finance, transitional housing, rapid rehousing, home ownership, and capacity building. The Housing Trust Fund revenue generated in fiscal year 17 was 138% more than our budgeted revenues of $2.7 million. Overall, the Affordable Housing Fund did not meet projected goals for fiscal year 2017. The following slides provide more details about affordable multifamily rental housing supported by the Affordable Housing Fund. In order to prevent duplicate counting of rental housing projects spanning multiple fiscal years, the Housing Commission only reports on projects that closed financing during the fiscal year. However, during fiscal year 17, four additional projects completed construction, resulting in the addition of 281 new affordable housing units in the City of San Diego. the San Diego Housing Commission provided an average overall investment of $93,000 per unit. The Affordable Housing Fund currently has $18.9 million previously committed to four rental housing developments that are currently under construction. These units are anticipated to be complete within the next 12 to 18 months. These projects will provide an additional 292 affordable housing units. The Housing Commission has an average overall investment in these projects of $94,000 per unit. Annually, affordable housing funds are used to support rental housing in various stages of construction. These units and funding awards were counted in prior year reporting. However, these awards are dispersed over several fiscal years, contingent upon construction schedules. As previously noted, the only rental units counted towards the goals for the Affordable Housing Fund annual reporting are those which have closed financing in the current fiscal year. In fiscal year 17, over $11 million was used to support ongoing rental activities, as awarded in prior years. In total, over $14 million was dispersed into our community in fiscal year 17. Each Affordable Housing Fund dollar spent in fiscal year 17 leveraged $10 in non-city subsidy capital funding. This is well in excess of the goal. Since inception, the Affordable Housing Fund has helped create over 19,000 affordable housing opportunities for San Diego families. And that concludes our presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This, Commissioners, this is a critical issue. We've seen some recent press reports on that have been inaccurate about the amount of affordable housing that we are producing in the area. And we have to look at it with all these programs in mind, all these different fund sources in mind. And so we've attempted to correct the record. I expect that you will see a response from Mr. Gentry on what the actuals are, reflective of the presentation here about Ms. Kessler and Ms. Halton, on what these funds are doing and what we're actually producing from all these different funds. My question really is, given the amount, I mean, these funds, I think, are reflective of the ongoing development and the economy that we have here in San Diego locally that's producing these funds. Are we keeping, do we feel, I mean, clearly what we're seeing in terms of revenue is way above what we had projected in our budgets. What are we doing to keep up with that and to try to stay up with that? Since obviously there's a lot of eyes on what we're doing in terms of producing low and moderate income housing. Mr. Gentry.
Yes, sir. What we do is market driven indirectly, and that is for us to have the funding to provide the gap financing to make these subsidized deals work, and they're mostly tax credit deals, requires funding received from the city. And that comes from essentially three sources. There's a pass-through of a federal program called the HOME program that the city forwards on to us. There's also money from the linkage fee program, and there's money from the inclusionary zoning program. And you can see all the building cranes in town over the last year or two. Construction is booming now. And Debbie, as I recall, the first 3 months of this year, we received about $20 million in funding passed through the last 6 months. $20 million. And back when I got here in the depths of the Great Recession, long about 09, it was about two or three for the whole year. So back when there was nothing going on. So it's indirectly related to the economy, which is not a bad thing. So we've got a lot going on now. I think that one of the things that's bedeviled us in our communication strategy is the most complicated and hardest to understand part of what we do is housing finance. And my experience has led me to believe that finance and money is the last place people tend to get educated in, especially newspaper reporters. And trying to get someone to understand this is like differential calculus rather than algebra, because you don't have fixed points. You have moving points, and you have to create arbitrary reporting standards to make it show. And if you understand the standards, it makes perfect sense. With respect to the newspaper, I don't think they've gotten a single article on this right in the time I've been here. And that, I don't know what that reflects. But if you look at our total production, the 19,000 that Danny indicated we produced over time, the fact that we are producing more now than we ever have, I think is reflective of some stellar work in our real estate department and all the support people who support what they do. I would welcome help or advice on how to communicate it better.
Commissioners, questions? Lisa, this workshop obviously is very helpful to all of us to understand where the source of these revenues are and the amount of production that we're involved with. Commissioner Cerruti, did you have a question? Okay. Any further discussion? Ms. Kessler, Ms. Halton, anything else you wish to add? Appreciate your update. Ms. Ryan? Yeah, we appreciate it as well. I mean, this is front and center right now. We heard testimony from public speakers today talking about, you know, needing to make sure that we get, that we're out there pushing the funds out and developing inventory out there. So this is front and center for us all.
The public speaker mentioned holding our funds in reserves. We earmark those monies for development opportunities that come into the pipeline. And so Ted Miyahara and his team are keeping a list of the deals, and as soon as we can get a deal pulled together that needs our money and it's ready to go, we bring it to you for approval. So it takes a lot of time to pull together a deal and make sure that it's a good one for us to invest in. We don't sit on the money. We try and turn it around as quickly as we can.
Yeah, I know that we don't. We just have a challenge in making sure that the public understands it. Mr. Gentry?
I'll point out that if you go back about 6-7 years ago, the city's IBA was criticizing the Housing Commission for not holding enough money in reserves. And
when was this?
You remember that? Yeah, this was long about 2010, 2011, and there's evidence. I've got corroboration back there. City IBA office, and so we're up to our 5% level there now, and it'll stay there going forward. But if you look at maybe the term reserves as a misnomer, these are funding targeted for investment at the appropriate time, rather than just frittering it away, and also money targeted for capital investments that in each case will last for 55 years, which to me is forever. So what we're trying to do is to make sure that we don't create legacy problems 5 or 10 years from now by not having enough investment going forward, but that what we put together will serve San Diegans decades into the future. You look at it that way, and you look at the way this money is targeted for investment at the appropriate times, then they really are not reserves. They're just set aside and targeted.
Thank you. Mr. Miyahara?
Yeah, thank you. And just piggybacking off of what Debbie had said, you know, I want to point out that, you know, this is a snapshot of last year's actions. For this this fiscal year, we have closed one deal, but we expect to close 4 by year end, and then another 4 by the first quarter in the calendar year of 2018. So a total of 9 deals I expect that we close in this next fiscal year that will total 660 units. So there, you know, there's ebbs and flows. We don't necessarily control when these projects close. So for instance, looking at last fiscal year, the count didn't hit projections, but next year we expect to make up for that.
Thank you. Mr. Miyahara, you're at the front end on this, on these, and the Housing Commission's investments in these projects. And one of the issues that comes up oftentimes is, are you gold plating the projects? Are you overspending on the projects for the inventory? How would you respond to that?
I would say absolutely not. We make sure that this is public money. Per the direction of the board, we scrub our numbers hard. We engage independent cost review to ensure that the numbers that the developers are underwriting in terms of the hard costs come in line with what industry experts are seeing in the market today.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions?
Thank you.
Sensitive issues. Thanks. Appreciate it. Today's agenda, those are the items that we're going to hold in open session. At this point, the meeting will adjourn into closed session. Thank you very much.